Join me in the spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Samuel's lesson is one that should resonate with all of us, particularly if we have had parents, and it could be a mother or a father or a parental figure. But at some time in our youth, they told us certain things, which might seem obvious. Don't go play in traffic. If you live in the city, don't go on the subway tracks. You can imagine the litany that I could offer you now, because these are all the same things you hear over and over and over again. Now, you're a bright group, so I presume that you all listen to your parents, but not every young person does. Sometimes young people think, well, they're old, and I've got a better take on reality, and I've got a better grasp on what I should do. And adults can shrug, they can throw a fit, but they've got to let the kids go out and do what they're going to do and learn their lessons. The alternative would be to keep them locked up in the house, and that wouldn't be good either. So this passage from Samuel doesn't involve Samuel delivering a lecture to his wayward son, who clearly did not listen to him, but to the people of Israel, who had gotten it into their heads that they needed a new political paradigm. The system of judges was not working out. And so, what do they want? We'll do what everyone else does. We want a king. Now, Samuel was put out by this demand on the part of the people. Part of it was because he, as a father, had hoped that his sons might follow him into the office of judge. The other part was that Samuel was devoted to God. And he knew that the people of Israel already had a king. And that was the one who let them out of Egypt and into a new land. Instead, they want some, jazzed up con artists who can look good. And they have all these things that they say the king is going to do for them. And they think he's going to go out and lead them into battle, and that he's going to be impressive and represent them well, that he's going to take care of their needs. That's not what the king is going to do. Once the king has been invested with unlimited power, the king is going to look out for himself. And Samuel offers this very detailed list of all of the bad things the king is going to do. He's going to take your sons and put them to work and put them in his army. He's going to take your daughters and he's going to put them to work in his palace. He's going to take your animals. He's going to make you slaves. Now that is a particularly stunning charge, because Israel had in its memory that they had been slaves. And why would they want to deliver themselves into that kind of bondage or condition again? They clearly were not listening to Samuel. They clearly did not listen to their parents. This is a great text if I want to give you a big sermon on politics, which I'm not going to do today. I think after the last year, we've had enough of that in our lives. But there is something here we all need to grapple with, and that's the agency that we have been given as people who have free choice. It's easy to think that if I could just wish for certain things and then they came to me, life would be swell, it would be grand. But we know that sometimes having all of our wishes and our I know that everybody has his or her own views on the way various problems should be handled and the various policies that our governments should take. But one of the things we try to do as a people is to deliberate with one another and hopefully work towards a consensus and a solution, which is what we try to do in the church. And if the church can't do that, then we're not being a very good example, a very good witness to the power of Jesus. I think that Samuel had a pretty tough road to hoe. And he may well have enjoyed being in charge of Israel, but that job wasn't something he did because it made him look good. It wasn't something where he was going to get the accolades of the people. It wasn't something where folks were going to be throwing roses in his path as he walked down the road and bands would be playing. Samuel was about service, and he was about service to God. And that's something that we should all remember in the church. It's not about us. It's about God. And by extension, God's people. So, I don't think anybody here is going to be lobbying for a king. We'll stick with the system we've got, but we'll try to make it look better. But when we have that desire to want something that in our guts we know isn't right, that is a good time for us to pray. That is a good time for us to listen for God and for the Spirit at work in our hearts and our souls, telling us what the right thing might be to do. My hope is that as the days and months unfold for us, as we as a society have to make some choices about reopening and what we're going to do next with the pandemic, that we'll listen to folks who've got their heads screwed on straight, people who are wise, people who are concerned about the whole society. And if we do that, then we've got a pretty good shot of being faithful people. Because we won't want to just do the thing that's easier to do for us, but we will be doing what is good for all of our neighbors. And that's an important part of being the kingdom of God. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beautiful weather. We thank you for the changing seasons. We thank you for all the gifts in our lives. In Jesus'